the Transverse Network, this is The Transgender Show, an interview program about self-acceptance and discovery. I'm your host, Emily. This week on the show is Dean FM, a Boston-based genderqueer rapper, activist, and influencer. We already talked about this a little bit in the pre-show there. Is your name chosen or was it assigned to you at birth?
My name is Dean FM, which is my stage name. It is assigned at birth. It was, but I had battled with what I was going to use as my official name for my LLC and for my brand. But yeah, the Dean FM, Dean Fraser Milford. So, but I thought that was cool back in the day when I decided it because of the FM, like Dean Radio, you know. So I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of how I decided that.
No, I love that. And is there any kind of, you know, meaning behind that to you for keeping that, or you know when we are doing our gender exploration, that kind of gives us a chance to redefine everything about ourselves? And I always find it interesting when people choose to stick with the name that assigned to them and sort of what that means to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I have, when I was in college, I went by Dion for a while. That was, and I was trying to, you know, experiment in those ways with my mm-hmm. gender expression and stuff. And like with, but I decided that Dean was fit me more. I just am used to being called it. I know it's different for everybody, but it just sounded better for me, even though it's not necessarily a very feminine name. I view it as the feminine name due to the FM. I don't look too much into names and like that type of thing for me.
So I like to work backwards on this process of questions here. When did you realize that you were under the trans umbrella? When did you realize that you were, as you described in the pre-interview, genderqueer?
I discovered that I was like genderqueer in high school. Not that terminology, but that's when I had come out and started wearing makeup and stuff. And when I went to college is when I had started thinking more seriously into transitioning. And I've battled back and forth with whether or not that's something I want to do, but it's been something that's not on the table as of for me right now. I really am trying to make sure that it's the correct thing for me. But as of now, I think being genderqueer is a more comfortable place for me to define myself.
Wonderful. Yeah, that must be an interesting process to realize that, you know, you don't fall under the typical gender definitions, the typical gender binary. And it sounds like ending in a place of being gender fluid is still presents a lot of questions. Is that something that you still deal with, like a lot of questions in defining or how to move in the world? Or has it really opened you up to just be able to be yourself, whatever you feel like at any given moment?
It's allowed me to be myself. I've kind of given myself the permission to just go wild with it since I was in high school. So, you know, being that way, I view myself more so in my brand way, which is a weird way to view it, but I kind of view it more so in that sense.
And when you started, you said you kind of realized that you were outside of the gender norms in high school. Was there a period for you of learning to accept that? Or once you came to that realization, did that really kind of unlock a lot of things and make things easier to understand for you?
Yeah, it made things easier. I think once I figured out that I was gay, that made everything really fit together with that. I mean, because that's when the genderqueerness came, right? Is right when I had come out of the closet as gay. So, yeah, that's how that happened with deciding that. Yeah, I mean, it's come gradual, but it's been very helpful in that sense, and being in the community as well has been very helpful, you know, with having that support that I didn't have when I was younger, because I was always very socially anxious and had a lot of anxiety and stuff. So I think being queer has really allowed me to actually live what I wouldn't have otherwise.
Mm-hmm. How has that exploration of your gender identity gone for you? I see that you're presented very female, very feminine today. Does it fluctuate a lot? Do you tend towards one sort of presentation over another?
No, it's pretty much feminine for the most part. But like, since I haven't transitioned, I can't help some of my masculine features sometimes, which is frustrating, which is why I'm still debating transitioning. But most of the times I try to do something feminine, try to put something more feminine, you know, as that's what makes me feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, that's what this is all about, right? The chance to explore yourself and to define your own identity and to be what you need to be, and in those moments where you need to, and then other moments where you don't need to, or you're like, you know what, I've got very masculine features, and I'm just gonna go with it, I'm just gonna rock what yeah. I've got. When it came time to start, you know, coming out to people, you know, when you started to decide to present differently and things like that, what was that process like for you? How did you start to tell people about what they were going to, what they were seeing or were going to start seeing?
I don't think I told them. And I think that was part of something that I regret in my process, was that I kind of just came out the bat with the eyeshadow and everything. I didn't really even ask anybody, to be honest, which I guess is a good thing. I mean, that's probably how it should be. But, you know, I didn't have that conversation with my father, for example. I didn't have that conversation with anybody really, except for my mother.
Yeah, I did have conversations with my family, but that's how I did it at work. One day I just showed up, just here I am, and I hope this goes okay. And luckily it did. But.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't recommend that though for everybody.
No, it definitely has its challenges. But like you said, there's sort of something nice to be said for the Band-Aid effect, which is like, okay, here it is. Yeah. Just take it or leave it.
Yeah, yeah, really.
And with that sort of, you know, kind of take it or leave it, you know, here it is thing, what were the reactions that you found? Were they neutral, positive? Did you get a lot of backlash? What did you experience in that first bit there?
I didn't get any backlash in high school. I think that at the time it was very anti-bullying, and I think I had sensed that with the environment that my school was in, specifically in the suburbs, it was very, like, you know, very heavily anti-bullying at the time, and there was a lot of pro-gay stuff going on, and I had kind of sensed that that was a good time to do that, and the reaction from people was fine. I got people looking, obviously, but besides that, I wasn't bullied in that sense, because I mean, that bullying would have happened because that's when I had come out, but yeah, that didn't happen, so I was very privileged in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any conversations of coming out with either family members or friends that were particularly difficult for you?
With my mother, when I talked to her, she had said basically, you know, she doesn't disapprove, but she worries for my like life and my social like situation and stuff like that. So she was a little disapproving in that sense, so she was hesitant, but that was about it. Nobody really, I didn't have any negative interactions with you know, anybody. Other people who are friends with me, some of them said, like, you know, I love you, but I don't support gay marriage, that type of thing, you know, but that wasn't as much of a problem in my, it wasn't at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's sort of one of those things that that's their problem, not yours.
Yeah.
Did you have anybody that supported you, sort of kind of went out of their way to support you in a way that you weren't expecting?
I think probably my Nana, my grandmother. She was probably very, she was a little more homophobic before, you know, before I came out. And when I came out, she was all about me. So, you know, that's about it. That was the most important thing to me, was that when my grandmother loved me, and all the people, the woman and the family who I was most close to, they all loved me too.
Do you feel like it was more difficult to have some of these conversations and come out, or for you to accept the fact that you that you weren't following the gender binary at first, that you were part of this greater transgender sphere?
The most difficult, that wasn't difficult, finding out the gender part, but I think the most difficult was just coming out in general, you know, just with accepting. That was probably the biggest change for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'd come out full force with, you know, swinging with my flags and all that. So, you know, it was good, you know, but I didn't have much struggle with choosing to be wear makeup and stuff. It was fun for me at the time.
What would you say are some of the things that you've struggled with the most as you've moved through your journey?
The transitioning thing and trying to decide whether or not that's something that's appropriate for my life and whether I really want to take into consideration the art part of what I've been doing and the fact that I really don't want to confuse that with the gender if that's not really good, still good, doesn't connect. So like with wearing makeup every day, it became like a just more so like I had to do it, like I felt like I had to do it, even though I don't necessarily want to all the time, but I want to be in that in public like that. So, you know, the hardest part is yeah, making that determination. Mm-hmm.
And on a deep level, kind of like, you know, getting really ethereal and looking into the real meaning behind things, what has gender exploration meant for you and meant for your life?
I think it means that I'm alive, pretty much. Like, I think that I would have either been very troubled or just have ended my, and I don't want to say it like that, to be honest, but I don't want to say that blunt, but you know, the amount of times in middle school, before high school, that I was depressed and I was in the mental hospital, you know, it was like, those things were very much of a struggle there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And coming out and living as yourself and getting able to present the way that you want on a daily basis, you'd say that your mental health is significantly improved from when you were in middle school?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still a little troubled. You know, I got a troubled mind. You know, I still got my depression and all that. Those things didn't change. But in terms of that dilemma, that the not acceptance of who I was, I think that was about to kill me. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I find that too. And I like to kind of, you know, make sure that people know that looking to go into transition, that it's not a panacea. It's not going to fix all your problems, but it does seem to take a big part of the edge off. Like you still find that you struggle with anxiety or depression, but it's not as dire. It doesn't have the same weight to it, you know, because mm-hmm. you've got that piece figured out, your self-acceptance. And then right. Everything else is just a little bit easier to work through and deal with.
Yeah. I mean, when I had started wearing my makeup and stuff, I was doing it more so because because I was gay, I was like trying, I thought it was a way to attract guys and stuff, which is part of the reason why when that routine became a thing, which is why I'm trying to make sure that it's the right thing, you know, for me to actually physically transition. But I still am more comfortable this way and all that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love your eye makeup. Where did you learn your techniques?
I did it myself. I learned myself with YouTube and yeah, it's a lot of trial and error. Yeah,
it's really easy to look at other people and go, oh my God, you're so good at it. You know, you've got such great makeup and you don't see in those moments all of the trial and error and the struggle and the you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars of products that have been thrown away because, right. Oh, this doesn't work.
Oh God, yeah.
So you've mentioned a couple times that you know you're unsure about whether to do any kind of medical transition. I take it that means you're not on hormones, and you're just presenting the way you are. You're wearing the clothes and the makeup, but just basically still you. As you've moved through your journey here and exploring your gender, have those goals shifted at all? Have you at times wanted to do certain things that now that you've gotten into it have backed off on, or as you've gone through it, are there things that are starting to become more of a priority for you?
Well, I was always looking into hormones since I started looking into transitioning there was some issues, like in terms of medically, there were some reasons why I couldn't proceed for a while, just because it was a testosterone thing issue. And but other than that, no, it's been about, I keep going back. I keep going back and forth. I haven't gotten started anything yet.
Mm.
Still.
Yeah, I just sort of wanted to mention along that, like, as I've moved through my journey, I've been, and I'm not saying that it's a fear thing for you, but I've really struggled with fear in taking each of the steps. And I found that each of the steps that I have taken, I've been very happy with. I haven't had any regrets. And I find it funny that still to this day, moving along, that, you know, those next steps still do cause a little bit of trepidation and give me pause.
Yeah, they're big steps.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I'm getting to the point of, like, you know, there's just permanent stuff left, you know, electrolysis, surgery, those sort of things. And it's like, ooh, that's
right.
expensive and daunting, if not completely frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, also with my mental health issues, I was told as well that there might be some confliction there in terms of, like, me having a work, I'm not sure exactly like the mental side effects of hormones, but I was told basically my mood would be worse. So, you know, I didn't, that's another reason why I didn't do it for my mental health and stuff.
Yeah, that's important. And yeah, hormones definitely affect that. So that's good.
Yeah.
How long would you say you, I know it's different for someone who considers themselves genderqueer, gender fluid, non-binary, that the sort of greater grouping there. But how far do you feel that you are to a place of self-actualization, of getting to that place of like, okay, I'm fully me, I'm okay with where I'm at, and you know, and I like me a lot.
I am always struggling with that. Like, still to this day, it's like I doubt myself the most out of anything in the world. You know, like, so it's like, I don't feel like I've come very far in that sense. But except for the fact that I'm able to be in society and have kind of a social life and all that stuff, but I'm still very much introverted and very much depressed. I have like major depressive disorder and anxiety and panic attacks and, you know, all the works. So, you know, it's that, but that's not necessarily something that I have failed at. You know, I like that's like those things people can't help, you know, so I don't know.
That's the work in progress that they're still focusing on. So in those moments where you're feeling down, where your things are a little bit rough for you, have you picked up any tricks or tips on how to find, you know, what tricks or tips for self-care and finding yourself and your identity and finding that self-comfort?
For finding yourself and your identity, I would say tips would be like, dress, do different things, like try different outfits and different styles of tops, different styles. I mean, this is for maybe probably more feminine people, but that's, that would probably be my thing, is just they don't be afraid of looking bad, because I've went out and I've looked really, really, really bad. Like I've had my teacher in the high school, actually, she was so mean. She said I was wearing clown makeup at one point. She said I was wearing way too much, and like people, like, that you're gonna have bad days and good days, and don't think of it that way, and just be in society. And I, one tip that I have specifically is I wear headphones, because I have misophonia, and I have trouble in social situations because I'm paranoid and stuff. And that, so headphones, wherever I walk and wherever I go, keep me like less paranoid, and I'm less afraid of somebody like shouting out something to me too. So it's, another tip. And self-care, I just say just stay on top of the basics. Yeah.
Do you feel you've struggled more with internal hurdles, like, you know, struggles within yourself, or external hurdles as you've moved through your journey?
Internal, definitely. Externally, I had all the support, which is another thing with that is a mental stressor, is that, you know, I have all these supports, and I still have such trouble, you know, because of my mental illness sometimes.
Is there anything that you feel like you've been able to accomplish in your life because of the fact that you're genderqueer?
Well, my art, I think, is the biggest part of that. Is where it's really been able to be put in play in terms of something that's solid that I can work with that and the band and all of that. And yeah, I think it's come out mostly in my art, and I've always been an art type of person. So even when I was very young, so yeah, that's kind of where it comes out. And I talk about a lot of the serious topics in my music and yeah, writing and stuff like that. I like, I think queerness, there's a lot of art that you can put into queerness. And I think that that's also part of why I have trouble with the transition. It's like, am I just decorating myself? Like, am I just having fun with the art, or am I, you know, really? And that's where it's like, I wish I had such more concrete, because I know that other people are able to make these decisions sooner. So it's like, that's someplace, you know, I wish I didn't have all these dilemmas and stuff. Yeah.
What is your favorite thing that you've learned through your journey, either about yourself or the world around you?
I think the favorite thing that I've learned and the favorite thing that I have gained would be like the social interactions and being able to, it's interesting how shy I am, the fact that I love to perform when I do perform. And that's been like one of the favorite things is it's interesting to me that I can conquer that. And when I'm on stage, it's a whole different vibe. It's a whole different world that you're in. So I thought that was like the coolest part of this, being a rapper and stuff, and, you know, being able to change my complete personality, not just, you know, this is who I am, but like in terms of being able to get into it and like forget the world and forget your anxiety and stuff like that and all that crap, you know, you're a performer, you know. Mm-hmm. It's definitely been an aid to my mental health and given me a lot more courage too, just to be able to go on stage and get that done. It's been a great mental accomplishment, and it makes me feel good and happier.
What was it that made that possible for you? How did you get over that fear initially to be able to get up and perform and find this out?
I had to start small. I started at like a karaoke venue, and I nailed that. But you know, I went a little too crazy with that one, I don't think I ever really got on stage and was nervous necessarily. I was nervous to get on stage, but once I was on stage the first time, even on the karaoke, I think I was pretty much set in my zone. But going to when I started moving up with the brunch bars and like the coffee shop places, and you know, you learn a lot about like where your best venue is and where your best scene is for what you're doing, and making sure that you're not performing in front of, you're performing like Jamaican dance hall rap in front of a coffee shop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to kind of pick up what you're doing. Yeah.
What advice do you have to pass on to younger closeted non-binary, genderqueer, gender fluid folks out there that are looking to go into exploring their gender?
The advice I would have is to not take, to be very serious about addressing it with people. And these things are going to be the hardest thing. That's what I feel is that it's the hardest to have these conversations. And I can't imagine not being supported in my queer endeavors, but to not let that stop you. But I can't really say that, you know, and be fair, you know, because I feel like that's, just the honest truth of that is it is hard. It is very hard. It is, you know, and to go out and be yourself and to be in society as queer people, we are changing the world, you know, and things are gonna have to be uncomfortable before they get better.
Dean, it's been wonderful to have you on the show. Dean FM, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Transgender Show from the Transverse Network. Watch this show live Tuesday nights at twitch.tv/thetransverse and later on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thetransverse. Be sure to follow our guest on Instagram at DeanFMOfficial. If you love what we're doing and want to help support The Transverse and get access to exclusive content, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/thetransverse.